So what about vultures drew you to first be interested in them?
I think vultures are sort of a perfect creature. They don't kill anything. They do a really good job of cleaning up our ecosystem. They're sort of the ultimate recyclers. And they're just very beautiful to watch flying also. They're maybe not as beautiful up close, or they look, you know, kind of wrinkly, and sometimes people say they're even ugly up close, but they're very, very beautiful when they're flying. And you can see them almost every day of the year here in West Virginia. My husband Jesse and I are two of the co-founders of the Avian Conservation Center of Appalachia, where we treat injured birds of really all species of migratory birds. And the turkey vultures especially are just really different from other birds that we treat. When they come in for rehab, when they've been injured, either hit by a car or sometimes shot or suffering from lead poisoning, they just have a different way about them. They really seem to be looking at you and trying to figure things out. And they're timid birds, and they're very, I think they're very charming in a lot of ways, just in kind of their manner of being curious and quiet. Turkey vultures also don't really make any sounds. They don't have the same kind of syrinx or bird voice box that other birds do. So they really only can hiss and sort of make some grunting sounds. So they're just very quiet and very watchful. They're always kind of looking around and seems like they're trying to figure out what's going on.
And you mentioned that in some ways vultures are these creatures that are basically have been for thousands of years cleaning up what we dispose of or what other animals dispose of. There's a real, I don't know, beauty in that. Do you feel like they get a bad rap because we don't want to look at our trash, or we don't want to look at the stuff on the side of the road, and they're really the ones cleaning up after us?
Yes, vultures definitely get a bad rap for just existing and eating dead things. People will say to me, you know, I can't believe you like these birds that eat dead things. And I say, well, you know, do you eat live things? Like, we eat dead things also. But they do a really important job of cleaning up, yeah, the stuff that often dies because of human existence, or the way our society is now anyway. And a great example is our roads, our highways. We hit a lot of animals on the road while we're driving, especially in this part of the country. I mean, white-tailed deer, you can drive on any interstate and you can see white-tailed deer on the side of the roads. And vultures can eat those carcasses and clean them up and also stop the spread of disease. They can actually eat an animal that has died from anthrax or botulism toxin or rabies or cholera and neutralize those diseases. So when the vultures, use the bathroom, there's no trace of the disease in their droppings. They do get a really bad reputation as sort of being sneaky or greedy or waiting around for things to die. And that's generally not the case. Turkey vultures are considered obligate scavengers, so they don't kill anything. Black vultures, that's our other species that we have here in this part of the country, and they are mostly scavengers. They will occasionally kill things that are weak or dying, but they do an excellent job of cleaning up the stuff that we've left behind. They will also eat not only dead animals on the roads, but they'll eat dead animals that are in carcass dumps near slaughterhouses or on farms. They will hang out around landfills and eat dead animals that would have ended up in the landfill. They also eat rotting vegetables that are left in the fields. This time of year, there might be some pumpkins still left out in the fields, and both turkey vultures and black vultures will eat them, which is kind of neat.
And in your book, you write about some different cultures have had different feelings for vultures. Even, you know, you write about some Egyptian tombs that have been discovered where there's maybe even a religious connection to vultures. And you also talk about a vulture buzzard festival in Ohio that celebrates the buzzard. Can you talk about some of these signs that not all people throughout all time have really given vultures the bad reputation that maybe we give them today?
Ancient Egyptians were very fond of vultures, and they actually believed that all vultures were female. And part of the reason for that may be that both the male and the female take care of the young, and they look alike in a lot of species. So people may have observed these vultures and thought they were all female. They also observed them regurgitating, bloody bits of food for their young, and they believed that the female vulture was actually harming herself and feeding her babies her blood and her flesh. So female vultures and all vultures, they became like the ideal mother in the eyes of many ancient Egyptians. Then the vulture became the symbol of the protection of the pharaoh. So in a lot of tombs, you can see kind of up in the corner usually a vulture with her wings spread. She's often carrying this round symbol in her talons, which is called the shen, which is the symbol of eternity. So vultures kind of creating life from death in a, kind of a perfect cycle. Things die and the vulture eats them and then lives and creates more life. So the vulture was seen as the protector of the pharaohs. And she was also sort of the goddess who protected women in childbirth. Because the ancient Egyptians believed they were such ideal mothers that the vulture goddess would even protect women going through this process. So they were very fond of vultures in ancient Egypt. A lot of people today aren't quite as fond as vultures, but there are some. It's not just me. There's a vulture festival every year in March in Hinckley, Ohio. It's called Buzzard Sunday. And it's usually right around St. Patrick's Day, and it's been celebrated since, I believe, the 1950s on this day. It's usually when the vultures come back to Hinckley, Ohio, after being kind of away for the winter, they consider it the first sign of spring. When the vultures come back to Hinckley, Ohio, spring has arrived. And there's a really cool festival with pancake and sausage breakfast. Kids with hanging their artwork up everywhere, their vulture artwork. There are people dressed as vultures. There are educational displays and presentations about vulture natural history. There is an official buzzard spotter, so a person who kind of stands up on a platform and counts the birds as they come into the area. It's a lot of fun. There's music. it's a great thing to check out, and it is definitely sort of, wow, the winter is ending, here we are in spring, these birds are back.
And how are vulture populations doing around the world? Are they thriving? Are they endangered?
Well, we are very fortunate here in North America to have really healthy populations of turkey vultures and black vultures, but in other parts of the world, they're not doing so well. In Southeast Asia, a lot of the vulture species are in steep decline. In the 1990s, people in India started noticing a lot of dead vulture carcasses kind of hanging from trees and kind of being around on the ground. And it took several years to figure out what was happening. They were actually being unintentionally poisoned by an NSAID, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug called diclofenac, that people were giving to cattle. And then the cattle would die, and the vultures would eat them, and then the vultures would suffer kidney failure. So when they finally figured out why all the vultures were dying, they banned diclofenac in India and Pakistan and I believe Nepal as well. But several species of vulture, three or four species, suffered like greater than 90% population declines, which has had an effect on public health also. Human rabies cases have been on the rise since the vultures have declined, probably since there are more feral dogs and other mammals that are now scavenging the carcasses, potentially spreading rabies, whereas the vultures don't spread rabies. Africa also has several critically endangered vulture species. The vultures there are at risk from several different kinds of problems. One is intentional poisoning by poachers. Sometimes if poachers kill an elephant or a rhino, they will poison the carcass. So when the vultures come to the carcass, they'll eat the poison and die, and they won't alert rangers or authorities to a location of the carcass by, you know, flying around in the sky. Also, some herdsmen in Africa who hope to keep predators away from their cattle will poison carcasses kind of around the edge of their property, and then vultures will sometimes come and eat those carcasses and die, even though they're not the intended target. So worldwide, they're not doing as well as they are here in North America. We do have one critically endangered vulture species, you know, the famous California condor. We were down to about 22 individual condors in the 1980s, and then we captured all of them and undertook this very expensive, complicated, you know, captive breeding situation where now we have, I think, up to almost 500 California condors, both in captivity and in the wild. So that's definitely a success story for those big vultures, but we still have a long way to go.
And one thing I found really fascinating about your book is that in North America, vultures evolved totally separately from vultures on the other side of the ocean, but they have similar attributes, similar, you know, they evolved to be similar creatures, even though they probably came from different origins. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. New World and Old World vultures are kind of a fascinating example of convergent evolution, where you have, you know, species evolving in different habitats, you know, continents apart, but ending up having the same characteristics. So vultures in the Old World usually eat dead things, though some will take weak and dying prey. And then vultures in the New World also will mostly eat dead things. Some species will occasionally eat weak and dying prey. Species on both sides of the world usually have featherless heads and kind of long necks. They have featherless heads so they don't get dead things stuck to their head feathers, which would be kind of gross. And also maybe as a way to thermoregulate. But anyway, vultures on both sides of the world have those characteristics. They usually mate for life, but they're not related. They're not closely related. Vultures in the Old World are more closely related to hawks and eagles. And vultures in the New World are a little bit mysterious. They keep getting moved around where they fit taxonomically. They were traditionally grouped with birds of prey, hawks and eagles, but then they were moved in the 1990s to the stork family, and then further genetic testing was done, and then they moved vultures out of the stork family and back to birds of prey. But no one's really quite sure where they fit genetically. They're kind of their own group, sort of a mystery. But it's really fascinating that they look so much like vultures from Asia and Africa and Europe, but they're not related, not closely related at all.
Okay, my last question. Is there a difference between buzzards and vultures?
Yes. The difference between buzzards and vultures. Well, buzzard is not the correct name for a vulture, even though it's kind of a fun word to say. And we call them buzzards pretty often here in North America. But a buzzard is Old World hawk family. So the hawks of the Buteo family in the UK, for example, are called buzzards. So what we would call a red-tailed hawk, somebody in the UK would call a red-tailed buzzard. And there are lots of buzzards in the Old World. They're, again, Buteos, hawks. And the idea is that when people from Europe came to North America, they saw these big, dark birds flying around in the sky and just called them buzzards, because they looked sort of like the big dark birds that fly around in the sky in Europe. But a buzzard officially is a hawk in the Old World. Even though we call vultures buzzards, they are not the same thing.
Well, Katie, thanks for sharing these reflections on vultures. Katie Fallon is the author of Vulture, The Private Life of an Unloved Bird.